Hi, and welcome to Feel Good with Joe, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each show, I talk to an expert in health and well-being to explore their techniques for managing an often busy and stressful life. Today, we're doing something a bit different, and we're talking to Valerie Munro from Auntie Planty Garden Advice about the health and happiness benefits of plants and gardens. Hi, Valerie.
Oh, hello, Joe.
Hi, and I understand you're joining us from Kew Gardens, where you're a guide.
I am. I'm a privileged to be a guide at Kew, and we've just had some training because we've got a very special group who are associated with a group in Georgia. So this group from South Wales are coming up to look at Georgian plants, and these are the plants that are way out in the Caucasus. So it was a fairly specialised piece of training, but amazing plants, absolutely terrific. But it is a huge honour that I'm allowed to play in arguably the biggest and best plant laboratory in the whole wide world.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful, and indeed it's had a special place in my heart because my old biology teacher lived out her last few years experimenting in the Jodrell Laboratory, so it's always a special connection for me, Kew Gardens. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about what you do. What is Auntie Planty Garden Advice?
Auntie Planty, well, it's almost as the name suggests. Auntie Planty is, I suppose, at its absolute basis, I am a plant agony aunt. I will solve the little wrinkles that people have in the garden to try and encourage plants into a healthier life, to be able to suggest plants and planting to a gardener that will stretch the interest of a garden right the way through the year. Some gardens you can look out of the window in June and say, oh, it's a mass of colour, and yet by August it's all gone, it's dead, it's boring. Mm. This is wicked, because there are plants that will flower their little heads off at various times of the year, and it's just a matter of guiding folk into all the floriferous possibilities. And, you know, it is good fun. It's not boot camp.
That's a fabulous word, floriferous. I love it.
Well, it's almost as good as smelliferous.
And scentiferous.
But there is a huge connection between plants and well-being. And it's not just that plants then go into lotions and potions that we take or rub in to make us feel better. There's an enormous amount of feel-good. Garden is a really nice, quiet, nurturing place. I mean, at its absolute basis, if you lead a hectic life, go into the garden and you bet your bottom dollar that none of your plants are going to shout at you. None of your plants are going to criticize you for this or that or the other. So if you can get into a nice, calm environment with working with your plants, you will come out feeling a whole heap better. My job is to try and remove some of the little questions. Oh, am I doing this right? What should I be doing now? It's just a matter of getting best practice.
And so what if somebody's having an absolute garden nightmare and just even the thought is too overwhelming? Where would you tell them to start?
We would start by walking around the garden looking at individual plants. So you're removing the garden as a mass, this huge elephant, and you're going around and you're having a look at individual plants. Now, each plant may have completely differing needs, and a simple thing might be that the plant is struggling because it's in the wrong place. Mm. So we will talk about moving. You keep all the plants that enjoy the sun, put them in the sun. There are plants that really do enjoy the shade. And if you get them in the wrong place, then this is where the trouble starts.
I can really hear how much you absolutely love what you do. How did you get into it?
Well, at the age of 10, I was spending my pocket money on plants in our little inner city garden, which was absolutely minute. I don't know what other boys and girls were spending their money on. I'm not here to tell tales. But this garden was absolutely tiny. And my mother was fascinated to watch me because she declared that she had black thumbs. But her mother, whom I never met, sadly, she had a way with plants. So I really do feel that there's something that's come down the generation game, that it's something that's in my genes, as it were. And then when I went to horticultural college, I went as a mature student because I'd had a life in the Far East before, and I came back and I had to make some changes in my life. And I thought, you know, this is the time, really. I've had a passion for plants for all of these years. Let's go back to school and learn a bit more about them. In the middle of that course, there was a sandwich year, and we were kicked out into the big bad world to go and learn more, either go into a greenhouse and plant plants or do something associated with plants. But because I'd come the communication route, I decided to join the staff of Garden News, which is a weekly gardening newspaper. And I very quickly found a place where I was answering the reader's problem letters. And that kind of stuck. So Auntie Planties really is just a problem-solving service at your elbow in your own garden.
So one of the things that you said that really struck me was almost a feeling that there's a relationship between the plants and individual plants and the gardener.
I believe that. I will go and, I make no bones about it, I will talk to plants. And there has to be some connection. Now, I can't, as a scientist, you can't measure it, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't touch it, but there is definitely a connection between the way you treat a plant and the way that it ultimately performs.
And that's always made a lot of sense to me. I read a book called The Celestine Prophecy. I don't know if you've read it, but it talks in that about the exchange of energy when you talk to a plant or when you sit with a plant. And it's a very beautiful description, actually, and it's always made sense to me. My mother's incredibly green-fingered, and it's because she spends time with the plants. And it doesn't have to be outside. It can be inside. If you don't have a garden, you can still get that health and well-being boost from talking to a pot plant and just getting into the habit of nurturing something other than yourself. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have been known to rake a pot plant in the house that's been struggling. People think that I was quite losing the plot, but however, the plant responded, and back we go. I also treat plants to soap and water mixes. You'll have to apply for the recipe. And I use sugar and water as well. I mean, sugar, if you think of a patient who's in hospital, that old drink that you bring in, Lucozade, whether it's on the banned list or not, I don't know. But the idea that to inject energy into a living being, sugar and water for a plant, works extremely well. I have clawed plants back almost from the brink of death by using this simple method. And it's something I learnt from a course fairly recently. We were talking about bringing trees back to life, because trees can be under the most enormous stress.
What sort of stress can a tree be under?
Well, people will water their plants in the garden, but they forget the trees. They think, oh, the trees will look after themselves. But the trees actually themselves can go without water.
How would you know if a tree was stressed?
Oh, it will look horrible. It'll look really sick.
Right. And so you would start with watering it?
Well,
or
I have a method of rehydration, which makes sure that the soil around the root ball is well hydrated. And then I will add the sugar and water mix.
Which, absolutely, that sounds fantastic. I'm just I'm visualising you at the moment pouring Lucozade into the roots of the tree. But, yeah. So I just want to talk a little bit more about the benefits to happiness and health of gardening or being around plants. And I'm really interested to know what you've seen with your own clients. What changes have you seen in them?
Well, I can only go on what they tell me. A constant reaction has been a little apprehensive about the first session. They're not quite sure quite whether this is really a gardening lesson or this is sort of plant boot camp. But the reaction that I get, I just love the session this morning. I really am inspired by what I can do and what I can achieve in my garden. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, having healthy, happy plants. And it's a sort of as if you're pulling back the curtain and allowing them to see that really the possibilities are endless. And all the plants need, very basic, they need food, they need water, and they need tender, loving care.
And that's just about the same as what a human being needs, isn't it?
Mm.
And so, I mean, where it's taking me in relation to my own clients and my work is through caring for plants and through caring for a garden, I think you could learn to care more for yourself, to think more about the food that you take in, to think more about the quality of the water you drink, let's say, or the nourishment of other sorts, the books that you read, the things that you watch on the TV, and actually have a sense of cultivating yourself in exactly the same way as you might cultivate a plant.
Well, I don't see how you could go through one process without thinking about the other. I mean, one of my constant talks is about plant nutrition, because if you give a plant too much nitrogen, it's a flowering plant, it won't produce any flowers. So we talk about the balance of nutrients. Now, having gone through all of that, if they're not then going to start looking about what they're delivering to their own family, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it connects very much actually to this idea of being really aware, being self-aware and feeling connected to yourself. And through that, you can be connected to other people. You can be connected to your environment. You are more likely to look after your home and care about the state that your home is in. You're more likely to look after your pets in a really loving fashion. But one question I have for you, I know quite a few people where it's almost like the garden's just too big to think about, and they have this tremendous sense of guilt about the fact that they can't fit in the time to look after it properly. And you must come up against that when people are talking to you. How do you advise somebody?
I say that there is no such thing as a no-maintenance garden, but you can achieve a low-maintenance garden quite easily, just by careful choice of plants. And you don't have to have the whole plot manicured, because we are now beginning to think that, I mean, with the biodiversity coming under our noses, and there is a direct relationship between us as humans and plants and insects and all the other organisms, and we really do have to live in a very happy balance. There are areas of the garden that you can let go just a little bit wild, because it'll actually encourage wildlife into the garden, and that keeps the balance of nature going. And if you achieve a decent balance of nature in your garden, then you're not stretching out to the garden centre shelves for garden chemicals and things to control the pests and diseases. So there is a terrific balance, and you can be over hygienic. And I think any garden that is just looks as if it's jumped straight out of a magazine, I would say, is a fairly sterile place to be. Pretty to look at, but nothing else is going on. So don't be too fussy about attacking the whole thing in one day. Rome, as I say, wasn't built in a day. Take little areas and just develop them, and let some of the areas of garden just go wild, because it will pay off dividends.
And actually, it sounds really attractive, this idea of something more natural, less manicured, somewhere where you could get that sense of getting away from everything being constructed. I mean, it's one of the things that I'm very aware of, because I do live in a very built-up area. I live in West London. I'm aware that my whole environment is a built environment, and to some extent, even my garden. So the idea of allowing part of the garden to just be free without that rain is very attractive. It feels like allowing a part of myself to be free in that same way.
I would agree.
So one question for me, which is just taking it in a slightly different direction. This is a show which is about managing stress. And so we've been encouraging listeners really to get out into the garden or to pot plants and look after potted plants. But what else do you do to manage your own stress?
That's a good question. I go out into my garden. And I may sit in the swing, I may not do anything, but I may sit in the swing seat at the bottom of the garden where nature has been allowed to arrive and play, and I will just sit and watch, and I'll listen. I think having the dimension of sound in a garden is a wonderful thing, and it might just be the rustling of leaves of the bamboo, or it might just be even the cats running through the grass, just something. And I will sit on that swing seat and I'll just think beautiful thoughts. And that's my way of unwinding.
And it does sound absolutely gorgeous. It reminds me of a piece of advice to just lie on the ground and look up at a blue sky and rest, really. Just enjoy that blue sky. It's there for everybody. It doesn't cost anything. And it is a natural stress reliever. So thank you so much for joining us. If somebody wanted to find out more about Auntie Planty garden advice, where would they go?
Oh, I think probably first port of call would be my website. Easy to find. Can I give you the address?
Please do.
www.auntieplanty.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, Valerie. It's been a real pleasure. I'm looking forward for our next Feel Good with Joe to welcoming Tim Mugabe from A New Approach. He's a personal trainer and he specializes in getting brides into that dress. Brooklyn's Radio.